on this edition of The Self-Publishing Show.
They try to force their print ideas onto the ebook land, and sometimes that works, but sometimes it just doesn't. For us, both of these things are sort of first-class citizens in our app. Whenever we write a feature, we think, how's it going to look in ebook and how's it going to look in print?
Publishing is changing. No more gatekeepers, no more barriers, no one standing between you and your readers. Do you want to make a living from your writing? Join indie bestseller Mark Dawson and first-time author James Blatch as they shine a light on the secrets of self-publishing success. This is The Self-Publishing Show. There's never been a better time to be a writer.
Hello and welcome to The Self-Publishing Show with me, James Blatch.
And me, Mark Dawson.
We're here this week to talk about a beautifully aesthetic bit of software in the publishing world, self-publishing world, but I guess it's used in publishing as well. And we're going to speak to one of the stars. It's our proper fanboy interview today coming up for me, because I'm a big fan of these guys and what they've done. That is our interview. Before then, Mark, a couple of things to mention. We have a blog available on our site, released every Friday, a new blog, bit of insight to help you in your marketing. And it's about the algorithm, the old algo, algorithm marketing for authors. What about kickstarting that algorithm, Mark? Still a thing. A lot of stuff gets spoken about algorithms. All sorts of people claim to know all sorts of things. But in reality, we know that any organization, whether it's TikTok promoting posts, Facebook promoting posts, Amazon promoting books, likes success. And our job, I think, is to kickstart the success and then get the algorithm to say, okay, this is making money. I'm going to give it a bit of a further push. Is that a good summation?
Yeah, so I think generally it's common sense, but I think what does the platform want to achieve? So looking at Amazon wants to sell things and make money. So anything that it can see is generating sales is going to be something that gets pushed to sell more things, or more of those sales. So yeah, we can speculate as to what the algorithm contains, but it is just speculation. I know plenty of people at Amazon, and I don't think any of them would suggest that they know exactly how the algorithm works, and that will be the same for most places. But we can start with some general position, fairly broad strokes, and then kind of speculate from there.
Yeah, so that blog is available on the website. I should also say that we're going to be in Florida. Is it next week? The time this is going out. This is going out a week on. No, it's going out this Friday.
Mm.
Which is what date?
It's
going out the 9th. So we're going to week after next, we're going to be flying out to Florida. I think it's something like the 19th, Monday the 19th, we arrive.
Yes.
St. Pete Beach, near St. Petersburg, near Tampa, in Florida. And we will be hosting drinks. You don't have to be attending the conference to come to our drinks at the Shark Tooth Tavern, which is a little pub or bar on the premises there on the estate of the Tradewinds Resort. And that is going to be on Friday the 23rd from 9 p.m. I guess people will be there a bit earlier than that. We're saying 9 p.m. They've asked us to do that so we're not conflicting with some of the nighttime sessions that they're running. And it's a nighttime kind of place, is it not? The Nink, I mean, that's stuff happens at night.
Is it a nighttime place? I think the beach is quite nice in the daytime.
It is. But the tiki bar and all that areas, kind of that's it. A signature of Nink. And they're very, I have to say, a very energetic bunch, the ones who run Nink. We get emails from them a lot. They're very well organized. They've got lots of people on board helping them out. We're very happy to be sponsors this year. We're going to be running a dinner. I'll be speaking in a session on TikTok. And generally, we'll be there to press the flesh, won't we, Mark? People want to come and say hello to us.
Yeah, it's fun. A door knock. Was that your door, James?
No, that's me drumming my fingers.
Oh, very professional. It's a good session. So I didn't go last year, did we, or the year before because of COVID?
No.
It'll be good to get back to Florida and see some old friends. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Good. And there's going to be some news coming up in the next couple of weeks about the Self-Publishing Show live in June 2023. So we're going to announce the finer details and how you can get hold of tickets at a good early bird price. So that's to come in the next couple of weeks. So just keep listening for that. Also, I just want to say thank you to everyone who sponsored me. I'm feeling a little bit stiff, it has to be said. I ran my first organized half marathon on Sunday, which turned out to be not very well researched. We were running at Silverstone Circuit, which obviously is going to be this, you know, it's a Formula One circuit, flat, predictable surface. That got cancelled. One of my friends found this local one in North Stowe, about 10 miles away. Fine, we'll do that. It's on the next, you know, next day. So we did that. It turns out 75% of this was footpaths around fields and across fields. And it was a very small crowd of 70 people running. And they were all like running groups who wanted the challenge of doing a really hard, tough course. So it probably wasn't the right one for me to choose. As it turned out, halfway through, I was thinking, this is really hard work. If you don't run, you probably won't necessarily appreciate that the energy you put in on tarmac gives you one speed. The energy you put in on a rough path gives you much slower speed, and it just feels like harder work. But so I didn't get a personal best. I did it in 2:14, if anyone's interested. I was trying to break 2:10. But
that's pretty good. Yeah,
I'm pleased with it. I came 50th out of 70-something.
Not bad. At least finishing is an achievement in itself. So that's very good. I'm back in the fitness go as well, because I had a week off when I was away in Southwold last week. Heavy rain at the moment. And I got back on the Peloton last night. Absolutely love it. I absolutely love Peloton. I am a massive fan of it now.
That's great.
Yeah, so I prefer the bike, but got the treadmill as well. And that's also excellent. But just kind of, I found an instructor who has very, very similar taste to me, weirdly similar, and it's just really fun to, you know, she picks a track from Bauhaus and from, you know, 80s goth music. It's just hilarious to work out to it. If anyone wants to kind of work out with me, I am P-Back Writer on Peloton, so you can follow me or follow each other, and then we can kind of, as I say, get sweaty together. But
Quite an invite.
It's very fun. I love it.
That's good. And obviously, you know, keeping mobile and healthy and
our age,
it all helps. Yeah, I'm feeling it today. I was all right yesterday. I went for a long walk on the beach yesterday with the dogs. It was all fine. But today I've woken up thinking, oh my God, feeling my age a bit. Anyway, I was basically saying thank you to those people who sponsored me. And I had a couple of anonymous donations of a decent size in US dollars. So I guess from people listening to the show. And that's really, really kind of you. It's a cause very close to my heart, Pancreatic Cancer UK. And the work done in the UK benefits everyone. I mean, they all work together, these charities around the world. So, and I've been reading this morning, actually, about some of the work there, areas they're working on. It's a tough cancer to try and solve. Okay, right. I think that's probably it for now, Mark. We've got a few things bubbling on in the background, a lot going on in SPF Worlds. We will slowly reveal over coming weeks. But for now, we have our star interview. So this is Brad Andelman, who is one of the two Brads, coincidentally, who run Vellum. They are created it. They run the software. They don't employ anyone. They still do it themselves. It's a really interesting interview. If you're slightly geeky about how organizations work and how software is created, it's actually quite a good interview for you as well, because I'm a little bit like that. And I was asking him about the updating and so on. They have a background from Pixar, the animation company, of course, brought us Toy Story and everything else, some cars and you name it, before being subsumed into Disney. And you can tell that they are an aesthetically pleasing background, because that's what they brought to Vellum. So let's hear from Brad, and then Mark and I will be back for a chat.
This is the Self-Publishing Show. There's never been a better time to be a writer.
Okay, Brad Andelman, welcome to the Self-Publishing Show. Now, I know I spoke to one of you before. Was that you, Brad, or was it your colleague?
I think it was, yeah, it gets confusing. I think it was my colleague, Brad West.
Okay, so first time onto the show, but we have met. We met at NINC a couple of years ago, and I was, I saw you standing there, and I was quite starstruck. And the reason I was starstruck is because Vellum is for me, is like a celebrity piece of the indie ecosystem. It's just a beautifully put together bit of software. It's not very often you hear anyone saying that they look forward to doing a task like formatting, but honestly, vellum. And if you're not into vellum, you probably think everyone else is a vellum bore who likes vellum. But that's why we evangelize it, because it's just a delightful bit of software to use. So first of all, thank you for creating it.
Thank you for saying that. I mean, we love to hear that, because, you know, we obviously want to make things easy for authors, but it's also really nice to hear that appreciation for sort of the craft of making software too. It's something that Brad and I spend a lot of time thinking about, how to make it easy, but also beautiful at the same time. So it's, thank you for saying that.
Hey,
it's
no, nice, you're welcome. And, you know, so I love Scrivener. I love lots of other bits and pieces, but you don't use words like beautiful about many pieces of software. I suppose the only other most famous organization brand that does this is Apple. And I think Apple must have been in some way an inspiration to you, the way that they do approach things from an aesthetic point of view as well as a functional point of view.
Absolutely. I mean, it's one of the reasons why we're currently Mac only, is that we really like their aesthetic. We like the way they approach things. There's a lot of benefits to existing in that Mac ecosystem as well. And since that we're currently Mac only, we wanted to make it feel like it was very much a part. It was, you know, of that, like I said, the Mac ecosystem. We wanted to make sure it didn't feel like you were using something else, that it integrated well with all the other things that you're used to using on the Mac. And Brad and I, we worked at Pixar for a long time working on the software there. And as a result, we had quite a bit of collaboration with Apple people as well, because Pixar and Apple have had sort of a tight relationship at the time when Steve Jobs was involved. So I think we have that sort of in our blood in a way. You know, we want to make it look beautiful, and we want to make it feel at home on the Mac.
Yeah, and that certainly is how it feels. We should address the Mac question straight away, because it is the one thing, of course, half the audience say is that,
yeah,
I can't use it because I'm a PC user. Macs are expensive. So first of all, are there any plans at any point to have a PC version?
We always say that we don't have, what we've said in the past is we don't have active plans for a PC version. And that is true today. There are many reasons for that. One is that we started and now we have, you know, like you said, a big fan base. We have a lot of users who expect that, who we want to make happy. And we've been adding stuff to Vellum, you know, constantly from our beginnings almost 10 years ago. We've been just improving and improving it. And there's only two of us. So you talk to, that's it. There's me and there's Brad West. And so short of getting much bigger as a company, which is a thing we could consider, we really like the fact that we can, just the two of us, deliver a great, great product that fits in seamlessly to many people's workflows. And we have heard from a lot of people who use Mac and cloud. It's not what we would consider the ideal way to use Vellum, because like you said, you want it to sort of fit in to the rest, you know, the rest of the stuff that you do on your computer. But we wrote a guide for it, and people really like it, because, if you don't have a Mac, you know, that's probably the best way to use Vellum. And we tried to make using Vellum like fun and also fast, that you don't need to spend hours learning it. And so we do think that it's possibly an economic way for people who don't want to purchase a Mac. That said, this sort of Macs are expensive thing, like I hear that a lot. You know, these new computers, I think bang for the buck are incredible with the M1 and M2 chips. They're super fast. And bang for the buck, I think they're a fantastic, fantastic deal.
Yeah. It's a while since I've looked at the whole range of Macs now, but they used to do the Mac Mini, which I had for years before I had a laptop or an iMac. Mm-hmm. And the Mac Mini was literally this big, but it was the whole, it was the whole computer. And all you needed to do was plug in a keyboard and monitor. And so I guess they still do an equivalent of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They still have the Mac Mini. And yeah, that's actually really reasonably priced too.
Yeah. And I want to backtrack slightly just on this subject. I'm not going to dwell whole interview on the PC versus Mac. But yeah. For people who are on PC, you mentioned Mac in the air. It's not in the old days, I think you called it an emulator. So you'd mm-hmm. run the sort of emulation software on your PC and it thought it was a Mac for a bit, so you could run Mac software. So Mac in the air is one step beyond that, isn't it? You don't install anything.
Right. So Mac in Cloud is
it's a
service, and it allows you to basically rent time on a Mac that you can use remotely. And so you have an account and you can open it up in your browser, or you can open it using like I don't even know the right name. I don't have a PC. There's like a Windows, virtual desktop that you can open up this Mac on. And then you just use it as if you were using someone else's Mac through another window. And so, it can be a little bit confusing because you're using like a computer on your other computer, but for a lot of people, it works out great for them. And we hear from a lot of people that this is how they've chosen to use Vellum. And then we also hear from a lot of people who do that, try it out, and then end up buying a Mac, yes. which always wows us, but we're fans. So.
Yeah. Yes, Apple should produce the Mac in the Air service. What's it called? Mac in the Cloud.
Mac in Cloud, yeah.
They should produce that free of charge like a drug dealer.
Yeah,
they should. Yeah.
They really should.
Okay, let's talk about the product itself then. So Vellum's purpose is to take your manuscript, typically that you may have exported from Scrivener or even written in Word, be exported into mm-hmm. Word. Typically, that's how I use it. And then you bring it into Vellum. So why don't you talk us through your initial aim for it and what it does today, its sort of features?
Our initial aim when we started was to do for people to write in whatever, word processing software they want to write their book in. We love Scrivener. We think Scrivener is fantastic. Write it in Scrivener. Scrivener has a Vellum export that makes it even easier. But you can also use Word or Pages, export to a .docx file, and bring it into Vellum. And Vellum will analyze the content and try to divvy it up into chapters. It allows you to add front matter, back matter, makes it really easy to do that, we hope. And then initially, it was really just all about generating ebook formats for the variety of online retailers. So it generates a Apple version, it generates a Kindle version, it generates, et cetera, Kobo, Google Play, et cetera. And then about 5 years ago, we added the ability to generate a print edition as well. So so you can create, PDF print interiors that'll be accepted at all the major print on demand services like Amazon KDP, Ingram Spark. And then sort of this whole thing that I left out is once you get it into Vellum and it's divvied up into chapters, you've added your front and back matter, sort of that fun thing that I think you were talking about earlier, is Vellum has these, has dozens of styles that you can then apply that we've labored over and we think are fun, and beautiful. And so you can choose the one that speaks to you. You can dig into those options and customize it a bunch. Recently, we've spent a lot of time on the print side of things. So you can really make your print edition sing with full bleed images, with heading backgrounds that can go sort of behind the first page of a chapter, behind the text of the first page of a chapter. So Vellum is really sort of your last stop before you generate all of the final files that you then would use to self-publish your book online.
Yeah. And I'll mention again that it's a very pleasurable bit of software to use, very easy to use, importing Word, and even does clever things that works out where your chapters are, as long as you've used something relatively recognizable to divide yourself up. And yeah. And even, I have to say, even creating box sets, which I did think, where do I start to create a box set? But actually, you literally just drag and drop your three novels into one, and that could not be easier either. So and the other things I'll just mention I find very useful is having the same page twice in it that will get exported for print. So you might have an ISBN for print, an ISBN for ebook, And even if you don't have those two, there may be subtle differences in your back and front matter. You can actually mark pages for print only for ebook, and then you just have this one Vellum file, you export it, and it appears in all its subfolders magically with only that correct page for ebook. I think that was only a couple of years ago you added that, or maybe a little bit longer, but that was a really useful thing, I think.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember when we added that. I think it was actually a little bit ago where we added the ability to, to mark elements as, print only or ebooks only. More recently, we've added the ability to mark sections of text. Maybe this is ebook only or print only. So if you have a sort of a call to action at the end of your ebook that doesn't really make sense in print, you're not going to say click here, right?
Yeah.
Someone's flipping through their paperback book. I'm sure nothing's happening.
Yeah.
So maybe you want that block of text at the very end of your last chapter to have sort of a call to action. We added a way to say, hey, this block of text should be an ebook only, not in print. So that's something that happened a little bit more recently, a few years ago already.
And
but still.
When you export, it exports to the different formats, which you can select or deselect. Can you mark, so for instance, a web link, can you mark that specifically for Apple? Or mark have a version for Kindle?
Sort of. So web links, the way sort of in the Vellum vernacular, web links are specific to links to a page on the internet that isn't store specific. So, if you were just like, hey, look at this YouTube clip, that you would want that to be in all of your books. But there's something we call a store link, which is like a web link. It's a stand, but it's a store link allows you to say, hey, for the Apple version of this book, you want to go to the Apple store. For the Amazon version, if you want to buy the Kindle version of this book, you're going to go to the Amazon store. So that store link allows you to specify for each format that Vellum generates, what store it should point to. And, that's super handy. Because Apple doesn't want your ebook to include links to Amazon for
In fact, they will reject it, and so will draft editions and the aggregators if you accidentally do, which I did this week. So I know I know that they do pay attention to that. Okay, so the changes we've seen recently have been that sort of customization, and I think the only reason I still find, and I probably you'll tell me a way around this, I still find I need two Vellum files is for the hardback version of my novel because I have a separate ISBN. That's a different thing, ISBN. I have a separate ISBN for hardback, paperback, and Kindle edition. And my workaround was to have a duplicate Vellum file for that. But is there a way around that?
Well, sort of. So that's a thing that, is on our long list of possible enhancements, is to make it easy to specify, even within print, perhaps to say, hey, this is something for hardback, this is something for paperback. Until then, if you have significant changes between versions like that, the best way is to do as you did, which is to use a separate Vellum file. It's not amazing workaround, we totally understand. For something though like ISBN, what we recommend, and I think there's an example of this on our help page too that I can point you to after. Most copyright pages just sort of list the ISBN and then after it indicate the version. So you could actually just have a single copyright page that goes into your ebook and both print editions, and it will just have one ISBN ebook, list the other ISBN paperback, the other ISBN hardback, or hardcover. And that's sort of like an accepted way in the publishing industry to just list all the ISBNs for a particular version. So if that was your only change to your hardback version, I would say it's not worth having a separate Vellum file. But we hear a lot of people are making special editions, say, using some of the new features that we've added to Vellum, where you have lots of different images, or you have sort of vastly different content. And that really kind of at that time, that feels a little bit like a separate Vellum file, because you've got all of these images and you want to, you have more elements, a different, an author's note about the special edition and other stuff like this, and or author commentary or things like that. So in that case, we recommend creating another Vellum file for that.
Yeah, actually, in the multiple ISBN is a perfect solution, which I shall get onto. Okay, in terms of enhancements and changes, then you have, what sort of contact do you have with users, with authors? You have a regular personal contact with them. You get a feel for what people are after.
There's only two of us at the company, so we answer every single email that comes in. So I think in that way, we understand, like, oh, you know, this is coming up a lot. What can we do to address that? So that's not always the best way to get, you know, because if there are happy people who aren't writing us, but they still have some suggestions, those people tend not to reach out to us as often. So we sometimes can be a little bit biased, because you're getting a lot of help me with this kind of thing, not like I want to do this in a better way. So we do go to a lot of conferences. You mentioned we met at Mink a while ago. So we try to get out to all of these, two to five. It's been a little bit weird the last few years, but conferences a year, and we'll and really touch base. We have we like to meet with Vellum users there and see what people are doing. And then, you know, there's certain user groups that we check in on or that we hear from online to really keep abreast of what people want and what's going on with our users. So people should feel free to write us using our contact page, and you'll know that we'll see it. So, like, that's another way. Like, don't hesitate. Please write us. We love to hear from people.
And in a reflection of the convenience of using Vellum, you just have to say "Dear Brad" at the top, because you know that one of the two Brads is going to answer. That does seem amazing to me. There is just the two of you still in the company. You must have ummed and ahed over the years about taking on a team.
Yeah, we have, and there's a trade-off. We've both worked on bigger software teams, and there's definitely a trade-off. We like the personal experience we have with our users and hearing all the feedback. Not that it couldn't be done to grow the team, but at the same time, we feel like we're able to make changes fast. We know Vellum really, really well, and we feel like we've been in it a long, long time. And so, I think it's a constant debate. We just have never quite gotten there yet. We may bring on, a few more people. Our goal is not to become the next, Microsoft, obviously.
So customer service, for instance, I mean, you at some point would like to go on vacation. Do you have to separate your vacations, or do you not get like 100 a day that you need to do it?
we try to separate our vacations. We actually haven't been that good at that lately. So there have been times when we've just, we'll sort of divvy it up on our vacation. You know, Brad will take a couple days, and then I'll take a couple days. We're pretty good at it. We know sort of people tend to write about similar things, so it doesn't take us that long. It's mostly, we get up early in the morning and can knock it out pretty quick. I think bringing someone on to as support would be a good thing. But like I said, we'd miss that, knowing what's going on, keeping our finger on the pulse, as you said.
Yeah, it's obviously an important factor in the company. But by the way, you're not allowed to go on vacation to go off. You're not allowed to fly together.
Yeah, exactly.
We rely on it. It's too much invested in that. It's like the royal family, the president, vice president. That's amazing to me that it's just the two of you, which is obviously a great part of it. And in terms of the company's size, so normally the metrics I would use is, well, we started with the two of us, is now a team of 250. But what metrics can you use to describe to me your user base or something like how you've grown since you started?
Our user base has sort of, I think, has grown significantly, and I think includes people who would never have thought about self-publishing maybe in the past. Like, I think our goal was to try to make this like very, very easy. And so with the more stuff we've added, I think really the barrier for entry is lower. So I think we see a lot of people, like I had a friend of mine who was like, I wrote this book and now I don't know what to do with it. And she like didn't even know, like she was like a friend of a friend. And I was like, well, let me tell you. And suddenly she's like finalizing her book and we'll get it published. And what was like sort of this like solitary thing, and then maybe would have like, in, you know, years ago been sort of cast aside, is now she can put it out there, give people a chance to read it. And that's really exciting for her. And so I think that that's what we've seen.
So you are growing, I think we can say, without without a shadow of a doubt. I mean, there is something about, I think that that particular process, we, you know, we authors, we write our books, we're full of self-doubt about them, think they're horrible, think they're good, think they're horrible, you know, go through that. But when you you take that and export it in vellum for the first time, that for me is the modern equivalent of the publisher sending you a book you hold in your hand. I know people still like that, and I've got a book behind me there.
Yeah.
But honestly, looking at that, that particularly the print export, the PDF, looking at that, suddenly all that stuff you've been doing haphazardly and wringing your hands over for 6 months, a year, 10 years, looks like a professional book. It suddenly looks like a book. That visualization of a novel, I think it's a really important moment in the process.
I agree. And to be honest, I don't know that I realized that, you know, 10 years ago when we started, you know, when we started, it was like, let's just make this easier, you know? You know, this, it seems hard and, you know, and, but this friend of mine, when she brought her manuscript in and to vellum, she didn't even have to print it out. She saw it in the preview pane. She saw it sort of formatted and it looked like a book, like what she expected a book. And like, I could, you know, she did, like, you could tell that that was really important. And it's not something that I personally, you know, would have expected 10 years ago, but now it's a thing that I hear from a lot of people and it's wonderful. It's great to hear that.
Do you, either you or Brad, write books?
No.
So how did you come up with the idea? I mean, why did you enter this particular field?
So Brad and I worked together a long time before this. We knew we wanted to start a small company and that was sort of creating software for creative professionals. And we didn't have a solid idea of what we were going to work on. We had a bunch of different ideas. And actually Brad's wife was reading a lot of independent authors on her Kindle. And the books were sort of had a lot of errors in them, had a lot of formatting mistakes. And then she started reading about these blogs as well, like following the authors on their blogs. And they were complaining about the process of making these books. And Brad was like, this is a thing that like we'd actually probably be good at because, you know, all that whole, the whole technology stack, to be nerdy about it, like that's something that we knew we could do. We had experience writing, you know, writing animation software for animators at Pixar. We knew we could write, you know, books for creative, you know, creative people to, or we could write an application for creative people to use. And we're both avid readers, and we both really like design. And so it just seemed sort of like it ticked all the boxes. And Brad sort of whipped up a really early, quick prototype of like what this might be. And we're like, yeah, we think this might work. Who knows? Let's try it. So that's what happened.
And it did work. And funnily enough, I think the formatting errors I see more often are in traditionally published books now on the Kindle. I think it's, I think for some traditional publishers, I'm certain, maybe this is a couple of years ago, it was a, seemed to be a little bit of an afterthought getting the ebook together. Whereas you, probably because of you guys, the indie sector has got that bit right.
Yeah, I agree. Ebooks for, you know, for better or for worse, we started with ebooks and added print later. You know, when we started, it was, there were all these articles, you know, are print books dead? And we never thought print books were going to die, but we were like, oh, ebooks are, you know, on a tear. And so we're print, we're, you know, we started with ebooks. And so we always have that focus. I mean, I think you're right. Traditionally published books, they often, it's totally an afterthought. And so, and they try to force their print sort of ideas onto the ebook land. And sometimes that works, but sometimes it just doesn't. And so for us, both of these things are sort of first class citizens in our app. And we, whenever we write a feature, we think, how's it going to look in ebook and how's it going to look in print?
Yeah, that definitely feels that way. So just very nerdy, and I might not even understand the answer, but what do you write the software in?
Oh, so when we started, we wrote mostly in Objective-C, which is sort of, you know, basically what most programs 10 years ago on the Mac were written in. Since then, we've started adding in a little bit of Swift, which is sort of their next generation sort of programming language that Apple has been promoting for the last 5 or so years. So it's a combination of Objective-C, Swift, with a few other programming languages here and there that are probably not worth mentioning.
Okay, I've heard of Objective-C, so, but I hadn't heard of Swift. I was a computer programmer a long time ago, but in the days of COBOL. So that's how old I am.
Yeah, Swift is fun in that, and it's not probably necessarily for your audience, but Swift is fun in that it's like, you know, Apple's making a drive to make it sort of be a little bit more accessible to a lot of people. So it's actually, you know, if you're interested in playing around with programming languages, Swift is a good one to dip your toe into.
Yeah, that sounds sensible. It's not always the Apple way to make everything accessible to a wider audience, but
no.
But
they've open sourced it.
Okay.
It's fun.
Good. Okay. Well, look, we better tell people where they can find the software and how much it costs.
So you can find it at vellum.pub, and you can download it. Vellum is actually, you can download it and play with it, use it to format your book, see what it's going to look like in the preview pane. And you only need to purchase a license when you want to generate those final files we were talking about. It's a thing that both Brad and I felt really strongly about is, you know, we want people to try this out, see if it works for them. We think it's going to work for you, but we don't want to make those assumptions. And we know that, like, spending money, like, especially these days, it's a big effort. So play with it, see if it works for you. Once you decide that you love how your book looks and you want to publish, you'll need to purchase a license. And we offer two licenses. One is Vellum eBooks, which only allows you to generate eBooks. And that's $199.99 in US dollars. And then a Vellum Press license allows you to generate eBooks as well as PDF print interiors. And that's $249.99. Once you own a license, you own the license. It's good forever, and there's no limit to how many books you can generate, etc.
Yeah. Did you think about a subscription model at some point? I'm sure you must have done at some point.
Yeah, we did. You know, back then, both Brad and I, when we first started, you know, this, we really felt like you should own the software that you have. And to some extent, we still feel that way, though the world has sort of has moved away from that. And I have to say that I've softened a little bit. It doesn't bother me to subscribe to services that I love and use all the time. So it's a thing we've talked about, but for now, it's like you own it, you've got it, you don't have to think about it. It's not a recurring charge. We often toss about ideas about way to change things up.
Yeah, and I think Scrivener's the same, isn't it? I think you buy that. I don't think they've got any plans. So it's as authors, it's I can tell you, I'm a fanboy of Vellum, and
good.
I don't begrudge the money I spent on it for one second. I use it for myself and for Fuse. It's a great pleasure talking to you, Brad. And keep up the good work. How often do you go in and tinker with it? How often do you make changes? Because it feels such a stable platform.
I mean, we change it every day.
Really? That's amazing.
Yeah. but we change it. We're often, you know, tinkering with it, as you say. We only do releases every, you know, so small minor releases that were really well, you know, that are sort of maybe bug fix releases every once a month or so. And then our larger changes, which we release, I don't know, quarterly, say, we really test the heck out of it, because, you know, we know how stressful it can be. You're putting the finishing touches on a book and you hit an issue. We hate that when we encounter that in other software. We don't want to be that way. So,
yeah. And I guess the other bane of your life is the operation system changes you have to do a load of testing without. And I have to say, they don't always come out. Well, I guess they're huge to thoroughly test, but they don't always come out perfect, do they?
No. Yeah. That's a big amount of work for us. Every year, Apple releases a very big update. And so that can take, sometimes we get lucky and it can take a little bit of testing, and sometimes it can take weeks and weeks of work and testing. And that's, you know, you got to deal with it. So it's just a cost, but.
Good. Okay. Well, look, the PC users have either switched off or they're Googling Mac in Cloud, if you get that name, or they're looking at Mini Macs now, because I think it's a great bit of software, as you know. Thank you so much indeed, Brad. If people want to meet either you or other Brad in person, where are you going to be this year?
We're going to be at NINC. I think that's probably the best way to see us. So come to Florida, St. Pete's, and please say hi. And thank you so much for having us on your show, or me on your show.
Hey, you're very welcome. Well, I'll see you in NINC again and buy you a beer this time and say thank you in person. But yeah, brilliant work.
Can't wait.
Thank you so much, Brad.
Thank you.
This is the Self-Publishing Show. There's never been a better time to be a writer.
There you go. I think it's fair to say we're both big fans of Vellum, right, Mark?
Yeah, it's the same to you off camera. I've been using it today, actually. I just finished a new Milton book yesterday, and so today I formatted it, and it's just, I don't know, I love Vellum. I remember back in the day before Vellum, BV, if you like, I'd send a manuscript off to my formatter, a guy in Australia that I used, and he would maybe 2 days later send it back to me as a formatted EPUB and MOBI file. But then if I wanted to change anything, which happened, you know, I have to send it back to him, ask him, you know, this section here, please change this to this. It was just really, really faffy. But now, you know, it takes seconds. It just, you know, Vellum is so good to use. Now, we should say there are other alternatives. Vellum is not the cheapest of the alternatives that you could choose. And there are some free ones that are pretty good. The Readsy editor is recommended. Atticus, Dave Chesson's new formatting software. Again, I see lots of people in the community who like that. But for me, just speaking personally, I can't really imagine not using Vellum now. It's a very important part of my process. And I'm, you know, the two of them have done a fantastic job.
Yeah. I mean, Draft Digital and others all have formatting options for you. And lots of people will use them. And even Scrivener, you can format in Scrivener. Atticus, I suppose, is a slightly different ballpark, and we could probably catch up with Dave actually about Atticus. So I think maybe we're going to record an episode of the show live in NINC in Florida. I think maybe Dave could be a candidate for a live guest, because absolutely. I'd like to catch up with Atticus and its progress. But the Atticus thing is more than just formatting, isn't it? It's about a kind of a process, a project management process, where you're all in one organization. And I think that is why people are liking it so much. Okay. Anyway, thank you very much, Brad and Owen, for coming on. And we will see you in NINC. I'll share a beer with you, hopefully, because I think the Brads are both going to NINC as well. So we'll catch up with them there. Right. Marcus, I think that is it from us for this week. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you again for sponsoring me in my half marathon run. And if you want to see Mark Sweaty, what is it again? Peaback Writer on Peloton?
Peaback Writer, yes, exactly. There is actually a hashtag. There's hashtag Team SPF as well.
All right.
So hashtag Team SPF.
Is John in that? Because John has a Peloton.
I don't think he is. No. He has one. Does he use it?
Well, I don't know. He has one. I think he did use it when he first got it.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I'll look into Peloton. And I have a Watt bike, which I really like, but I would happily swap to Peloton.
Yeah,
In the road bike community, Watt bike is a bit more for road bike, you know, to really work on cycling, whereas Peloton's a bit more of a fitness thing. But in the winter, you kind of need a bit of fitness stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Enough of our fitness obsessions.
If you want to buy a Peloton, go to supplement.com/Peloton
and we'll
get 50% on. No affiliate deals with Peloton, but I recommend it without hesitation. Very good.
Yeah, good. Okay, thank you very much indeed. Thank you again to the team in the background led by John and for getting this on air, and appreciate it. We'll speak to you, I guess, this time next week. Thank you very much indeed. All that remains for me to say is it's a goodbye from him.
And a goodbye from me. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Get show notes, the podcast archive, and free resources to boost your writing career at selfpublishingshow.com. Join our thriving Facebook group at selfpublishingshow.com/Facebook. Support the show at patreon.com/selfpublishingshow. And join us next week for more help and inspiration so that you can make your mark as a successful indie author. Publishing is changing, so get your words into the world and join the revolution with the Self-Publishing Show.